We are here for this global dialogue on family farming after months and from some of you years of mobilization to first of all get this declaration of the International Year of Family Farming and then to make it a success. Many of you have been involved and participate in the regional dialogue that were organized by FAO and its partners at the late 2013 and early 2014, and many of you who come from far away have been leading the creation of the national committees for the International Year of Family Farming. Thank you for coming. First of all, on behalf of IFAD, I want to thank FAO for having organized and facilitated this international year and all this process that is culminating here in this room today and tomorrow. We had years of potatoes, we have years of quinoa and others. This year is about people. It's about family farmers, hundreds of millions of women and men who feed the world and care for the earth. These people, these many peoples, are organized. They have their own voice. They have their representation. And it's a very, I think, good signal that this global dialogue is sending to start our discussion today with those organizations and those people that represent in their own way their people, the family farmers. Three of these global network of family farmers organizations have been involved and play a key role in the International Steering Committee for the International Year. These are La Via Campesina, who is represented at this panel by Chuki Najundaswamy, here on my left, the World Farmers Organization, represented here by Evelyn Guleka, acting president, on my left, and last but not least, José María Cheberillo, president of the Board of Directors of the World Rural Forum, on my right here, the World Rural Forum, who has been mobilizing and organizing for years this campaign for this international year. So we are going to do what we have been learning during this year, listening to those who speak on behalf of family farmers. Each speaker here will have about 8 minutes to present their key messages, and then we will try to have some interaction in the remaining half an hour. Let's start with Chuki. You have now the floor.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, my co-speakers, representatives of the civil society, friends from FAO and other organizations. First of all, I would like to thank you, the FAO, for inviting Via Campesina, which is representing more than 200 million small peasants of the world, to share this panel on this occasion of the Global Dialogue on Family Farming. I would like to also express my gratitude to the World Rural Forum, who is sharing this panel, as they are playing a vital role in supporting the small-scale peasants of the world. Family farmers were not born yesterday. It is them who have been feeding the world since agriculture came into existence. They have not only been feeding the world, but also taking care of the agrobiodiversity. But we had forgotten them. The United Nations body, the FAO, which has been created to take care of the small-scale farmers of the world, who are the real stakeholders of agriculture. It's remembering the family farmers this year, and I would like to appreciate FAO for doing this. I would like to also thank the food crisis, which made us remember the family farmers. This whole madness of the Green Revolution technology and the neoliberal regime and the new trend of land grabbing, the family farmers are not receiving any support. The country where I come from, India, the small-scale farmers, the family farmers, are committing suicide. There is no option left for them. The media talks about it. The universities are talking about it. Experts are talking about it. And they say it's because of the trap, the financial trap that they are into. The indebtedness is nothing new for farmers. Their capital comes from public funding, from the banks. But the suicide is a very new trend. It is happening since last 15 years. Farmers were taking loans also before, but nobody was committing suicide. They started committing suicide only after 1994 and 1995 because of the trade liberalization policies. India opened up its market, like all the other developing countries, soon after they got into the WTO setup. So the market stability, the market instability has caused them severe problems. So this is the situation of the family farmers. What I would like to tell you here is that family farming is not just a theme to celebrate for 1 year. Family farming is the way of doing agriculture. It's the only way. And I would like to stress on this. Family farming will continue only if the policies done by FAO or the national governments will allow them to continue to do the way they used to do it in the past. As you all know, family farming, you know, the term itself says that, you know, it's a family farming. The knowledge, the bond with agriculture, the bond with land, comes from the family. It just can't come to anybody. Only if you are born in an agriculture family, you understand your relationship with nature. You understand your relationship with the land. The way the land has, the family farmers have been relating to, as if they are relating to their mother. They take care of the land, they love the land, they husband the land, you know, as a mother. But what capitalism has been teaching the recent generation of farmers is to look at it as a commodity, is to look at it as just a means of extracting and exploiting without respecting the nature, without respecting the co-living beings. but just to look at it from the profit point of view, like all the other agribusiness is doing. Via Campesina stands for food sovereignty. And family farmers can continue and will continue to be family farmers only if food sovereignty, the principle of food sovereignty, is enacted as a law. Many governments have done this in the world. And we demand Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations to take the principle of food sovereignty seriously and implement it. It is not just a concept, but it's a principle. It is, we think and we hope that family farmers will be there in the agenda of the FAO, not just in this year, but will continue to be there as one of the major agendas of FAO, because they need support, especially the farmers in the southern part of the world. They need your support. And you have a moral responsibility on you to strengthen them, to support them. Imagine just for a day, what if they stop selling what they are producing and just keeping to themselves? I request you to just imagine for a day. We did it in India. We called it as Grama Bandh. Grama Bandh means stopping villages, blocking villages. We asked the farmers, the movement asked the farmers not to send anything to the cities. There was no vegetable, no fruits, nothing for the consumers. It is up to the consumers to think, what happens if there is no food is produced? Maybe the answer is agribusiness, but agribusiness is definitely not the answer. Agribusiness is not, will not help this world, will not take care of the earth. Agribusiness will do more and more violence on this earth. Family farmers are the only farmers who are feeding the world for free. If you look at the cost of the production, I would say they are feeding the world for free. We are all eating for free. And it is up to us to wake up and strengthen them by designing policies, not just for the transnational corporations, but for family farmers. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We now give the floor to our second speaker, Evelyn Guleka from Zambia, speaking on behalf of the World Farmer Organization.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Your Excellencies, the FAO Director General, Mr. Granazio de Silva, ministers, distinguished guests, authorities, colleagues, farmers, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sincerely honored to be here today to be addressing this global dialogue on family farming. I'm very proud to be addressing this speech on behalf of the World Farmer Organization. At WFO, we are a community of geographically balanced farmers. We have small, medium, and large-scale farmers who aim to see their multifunctional role as food producers, economic actors, and environment protectors globally recognized. WFO constituency at the moment constitutes 70 members, including farmer organizations and cooperatives from more than 50 countries in both developing and the developed world. Our mandate is to foster an active engagement of farmers in global policy fora on agriculture-related matters in order to create conditions for the adoption of policies aiming at improving the economic environment and livelihoods of people, of our farmers, their families, and their communities. We also promote specific family farm models, such as the family farming that we are celebrating here today. As the acting president of the World Farmer Organization, and as a family farmer myself, I am greatly thankful to His Excellency, Mr. De Silva, and his team for having organized this important gathering, and to the colleagues on the Family Farming International Steering Committee that has worked throughout the year to promote and advocate for the family farmers' rights. Having dedicated the 2014 International Year to the family farming has great recognition of the role that family farms have played every day. 80% of the world's farmers are family farmers who, by taking care of their family farms, strongly contribute to the well-being of the whole population. It is now clear that the world population keeps constantly growing, and statistics tell us that by the year 2050, we will have to feed 9.2 billion people. This means that the food demands of this vast population, agriculture production, should expand by at least 70%. And if we consider that over the 570 million farmers over the world, 500 million are family farms, and that the family farms produce 80% of the global food production, this challenge will be a burden directly affecting all of us. Moreover, as a family farmer myself, I feel that agriculture is not only food production. Family farmers and their communities play indeed an important role, for instance, in the protection of the environment and its biodiversity. Yes, family farmers have a very close relationship with nature and its cycles, and have a natural attitude to respect the diversity in nature. Family farmers play important roles in many agricultural fields, from ensuring health and nutrition to foster innovation, from tracking climate change to achieving food security. Thanks to our close relationship with the land, we have an inner knowledge of agriculture products, their characteristics, and their nutritional factors. Farmers, better than anybody else, are capable to select and produce the highest quality food possible, contributing an enhanced public health. Since ancient times, family farms have been developing new technologies to adapt to the changing market's demand and have contributed to the development of innovation in agriculture. Family farmers spontaneously implemented resilient actions to adapt to climate change and have combined their traditional knowledge with new techniques in order to develop innovative systems that are resistant to the climate change. Despite our critical role, we still face many, many challenges. Just to cite a few, we have difficulties in accessing resources and raw materials, the aging of the population, the lack of generational renewal, the lack of agriculture sector, lack of training and financial assistance. And yet, we are in most cases excluded from the relevant discussion-making fora, which directly affect our families and livelihoods. Being a family farmer today is not an easy job. We are subject to many more challenges if compared to our ancestors. Climate instability, price instability, access to finance, just to mention a few. What can be done to support the family farmers and our work? First and foremost, governments must take action and give the highest priority to ensure that the world's family farmers can provide food security in a sustainable way and contribute to the eradication of rural poverty and hunger. It is clear now that family farmers have a great potential in eradicating hunger and ensuring sustainable food security, but to do so, an enabling policy environment is still necessary. The United Nations agencies that are represented here today, governments, research institutions, and all stakeholders involved directly or indirectly in agriculture sector should strengthen their partnerships with family farmers organizations with a view of developing political instruments. A sustainable future for all is only possible if family farming roles is duly acknowledged and respected. Likewise, I would like to make an appeal to FAO to maintain its role as facilitator for family farms. Otherwise, dear excellences and colleagues, there is no much sense in declaring international years if the attention is not brought forward to the future. The global attention, concerted effort will ultimately lead to impact to the local level. It is vital that we join voices to make sure that this model of family farming remains vibrant and viable development option. We all know how responsible and careful family farmers are. Worldwide, we have an important multifunctional role to play economically, socially, and environmentally. The International Year of Family Farming has represented a good starting point to create an interesting framework condition to keep family farms on our farms. But we now need to move to concentrate action that will bring the family farmers on the edge of the whole agriculture sector as they are fully deserved. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you. And we finish with José María Cheverío. You have the floor for 8 minutes.
Buenos días a todos. Muchas gracias por participar en este encuentro y por darnos la oportunidad de manifestar el por qué estamos aquí, el por qué impulsamos el Año Internacional de la Agricultura Familiar, cómo estamos en este momento y cómo creemos que hay que abordar el futuro. Iniciamos este proyecto porque estábamos ante un tema relevante en el mundo. El problema número uno de la humanidad, en el que hay consenso general, es que es el hambre y la malnutrición. El problema número uno de la humanidad también es cuidar el futuro del planeta. Por eso el lema alimentar el mundo, cuidar el planeta. Y la gran paradoja es que donde más se concentra el hambre en el mundo es donde se producen los alimentos, que es en el mundo agrario y rural, y donde más amenazado está también el planeta es en las zonas agrarias, en las zonas rurales. Por ello, pusimos en marcha esta iniciativa que ha llegado hasta aquí y va a continuar a futuro gracias al trabajo de todos nosotros, de los que estamos aquí y de los cientos de organizaciones que están trabajando en muchos países del mundo. Esto no es un proyecto de una pequeña organización ni de una gran organización, esto es un proyecto colectivo. El primer factor por el que nos sentimos orgullosos es la capacidad de unir que ha tenido el Año Internacional de la Agricultura Familiar. No nos consta que haya ninguna organización en el mundo que considera que la iniciativa no es correcta o que considera que no hay que sumarse a este proyecto. Hemos logrado unir la heterogeneidad. Ustedes saben bien que gestionar la heterogeneidad no es fácil y la agricultura familiar y la agricultura en su conjunto es una realidad muy heterogénea. No es lo mismo Estados Unidos que Europa, que Sudáfrica, que la zona subsahariana o Asia. Entonces, estamos de alguna forma intentando avanzar conjuntamente desde la heterogeneidad. El segundo factor que consideramos que es importante es el carácter participativo. Hoy aquí y en muchas de las iniciativas que se han desarrollado a lo largo y ancho del mundo ha habido una gran participación y eso también creemos que forma parte del éxito de este tema. Pero ¿cuál es el aspecto que nosotros consideramos más importante? El diagnosticar los problemas es muy importante. Yo escuchaba a las representantes de Vía Campesina y de la Organización Mundial de Agricultores hablando de retos y me sentía muy identificado con todos ellos, porque al fin y al cabo tenemos un diagnóstico bastante común. Yo no voy a repetirlos. Todos estamos preocupados por el acceso a los recursos, por la financiación, por otro montón de problemas, de acceso a los mercados, por el problema de rentabilidad de la agricultura, porque la agricultura sea un modo de vida adecuado para los miles de millones de personas que viven en ella, pero no voy a repetirlo. Únicamente voy a decir una cosa. Si la comunidad internacional no pasa del diagnóstico, no pasa de una identificación, en términos generales, consensuada de los retos que tiene el futuro de la agricultura familiar, pues no tenemos futuro. Y abordar los retos pues representa un compromiso, que es lo que creo que nos une a todos los que hoy estamos aquí. Hablando de compromiso y hablando de futuro, nosotros quisiéramos poner el acento en uno de los grandes retos. En las numerosas conferencias en las que participamos, bien sea en Europa, en América, en Asia, en África, hay un término o hay una preocupación muy sentida en todos ellos. Hay muchas, pero hay una en especial importante para el futuro, y es la preocupación para hacer de la agricultura familiar atractivo para las jóvenes y para las mujeres. El gran reto, desde nuestra óptica, que une a todo lo demás, es que hagamos una agricultura familiar que sea viable para las futuras generaciones. Por mucho que hablemos del resto de los retos, pero si los jóvenes que actualmente están en el mundo rural, en la agricultura, o pueden estar mirando a la agricultura, si no les resulta atractivo, no tenemos futuro. Y para que tengamos futuro, tenemos que orientar el futuro de las políticas y el futuro de todas las actuaciones a hacer atractivo para los jóvenes, tanto ellos como ellas, la agricultura familiar. En eso estamos. No es fácil. El Año Internacional de la Agricultura Familiar, lo primero que ha pretendido, y yo me atrevería a decir que en parte lo ha conseguido, ha sido colocar en la agenda internacional el problema y colocar en la agenda internacional la importancia que tiene este sector para el futuro de la humanidad. Esto no es un juego de fuegos artificiales. Esto no son actuaciones puntuales muy brillantes. Esto es parte de un proceso. Hoy estamos aquí. Dentro de 2 semanas estaremos en Brasilia, o dentro de 1 mes estaremos en Manila, y otro montón, o estaremos en Mali, o estaremos en otro montón de partes del mundo. Es importante. Pero esto no se acaba el 31 de diciembre del 2014. Esto se acaba, esto es un continuo, es un proceso. Y para terminar, diagnóstico, abordar los problemas, abordar los retos y necesidad de políticas públicas. Muchas veces discutimos cómo se solucionan los problemas. Nosotros entendemos que todo el mundo contribuye a la producción de alimentos. Todo el mundo contribuye a obtener mejor rendimiento y sostenible de los recursos disponibles. O por lo menos dice hacerlo y no vamos a empezar a cuestionarlo. Pero hay un tema fundamental: el acceso a los alimentos, el desarrollo de la agricultura a pequeña, mediana, incluso gran escala, no se puede abordar sin políticas públicas. El mercado puede solucionar o puede, de alguna forma, contribuir a la creación de riqueza, pero difícilmente contribuye a su distribución y difícilmente contribuye a que todas las personas del mundo tengan acceso a una alimentación suficiente. Por ello, nuestro llamamiento dentro de este año sería para que todos los gobiernos del mundo tomen conciencia de que es necesario para abordar la problemática y el futuro de la agricultura familiar que pongan en marcha políticas públicas que son las que de alguna forma garantizarán el futuro. Muchas gracias.